Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday afternoon. It's about straight up 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we're glad to have you here with us. I want to get into the show today, but my equipment seems to be falling apart here, but here we go.
Here
we go. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I hear a TV or something in the background, I think.
Costa Mesa, California.
And there's Bruce. Hello, Bruce.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you well.
Good, excellent. Good afternoon, good evening to everyone.
Hey, Bruce. Sir.
Hey, Bruce, good evening.
Hey, guys, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, so I want to get straight into the show, but we're going to make it a little different today. We're going to talk about things that people have sent in, emails or texts or Facebook. And so I went through all that stuff, and there are questions in there that people want us to discuss. So I'm going to discuss some of those, because those are the people that are listening to us. And one of the first ones was, how does a woman or a young lady apologize to a man for something she's done? Because this note says that 99% of women are afraid to apologize to men because they're not sure and this is not a relationship. In other words, I guess like work or something other than your significant other, how do you apologize? How does a woman apologize to a man? Because she's saying that 99% of women that she knows are afraid to even apologize because they don't know the recourse of the man once they do. I think it's a silly question because all men aren't the same, you know, but go ahead, Bruce, what do you think?
All right. Yeah, boy, David, I couldn't agree with you more. Congratulations. Thank you. And apologizing to someone is not male or female. It's generic. And it takes one human being to say, look, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, if I did something wrong, and you didn't intend to. I'm sorry. I mean, I can't believe someone saying, I don't know how to apologize to someone. Wow.
Well, her thing is, most women are afraid to apologize to a man, and I don't know what the person has done. I don't know if this is, and it says non-relationship, so I guess it means that, so you run into a man's car and you want to go apologize and say you're sorry. I think she said that women are afraid to apologize to men because they're afraid of what the men, how the men are going to react.
Let me add one more thing to mine, then Ron and Don can pipe in. I think people are impressed by people with self-confidence, morals, and strength. And if you don't have a problem turning to someone and saying, you know, whatever you think they might think of you, for me, if someone turns to me, I had it the other day at my place of business, and she turned to me and apologized, and I think the world of that. I think more of someone for apologizing, not less.
Right. Okay, Don, what do you think?
I agree with Bruce wholeheartedly. I think it takes a lot of courage to say I'm sorry or apologize. Sometimes women have a difficult time doing that in fear of how the man will take it or what he might say. I don't know where you got that statistic from, but it's so true.
But you know, I think men will give a woman a pass quicker, then he'll give a man a pass. So if a woman apologizing to a man, I think most men will say, will accept that a lot quicker than they will before, you know, if a man. What do you think, Ron?
Well, first of all, I think nobody should ever be ashamed or embarrassed in any way to apologize for anything, because after all, and, you know, Bruce and Don are both right, you know, we're only human. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And to own up to it, I think, again, you know, is the sign of a bigger, stronger person. But I do have to, you know, reiterate something that Bruce said, that I don't think this is a man-woman thing. I think it's just in general, you know, I've got a boss, for example, and he's a man, and he's 67, a lot older than I am. And he will never admit when he's wrong. And, you know, that to me is a sign of weakness, actually. He might think it's a sign of strength because he might think that he's never wrong. But trust me, he's wrong a lot. He just won't admit it. So to me, that's more of a sign of weakness than strength. So, you know, apologize. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed of it. We're all human. We make mistakes.
So I think that's a whole open up another door about your boss not admitting or taking responsibility for what they do. But I think that, I think we all can say, you know, we probably all have been in relationships or in jobs like that. Anyway, another question that we had was that someone asked once
can
us
I,
to talk
David,
about is, yes.
Before you move, can I add something to what Ron
sure.
said? I agree with him as well. And Dan, is when my dad taught me life lessons many, many, many years ago, I would ask him, and I've asked others and gotten the same answer. Why do so many people control by keeping you under their thumb, so to speak? In other words, control or not willing to apologize. And he told me, he said, the most people that are not self-confident are threatened by other people around them, not enhanced, not complimented. They're scared of them. They're scared of looking bad. And I think apologies the same way. If you're weak of character, you question about, God, I can't say this because what will they think? Well, turn around and say, what will they think if you don't apologize? So he taught me that.
Okay. I want to jump in here with something. There are several people on the line, and we have a producer going in asking people if they would like to join the conversation. And what we got is a lot of people are not answering. So if someone comes in, if you hear someone come in and say, would you like to join the conversation? If you would, say yes, I would like to join in, and we will get your information and get you on, because we see people on the line, but we keep going in trying to get them to respond, but they're very shy out there today. So, all right. Another question that came through was, why is it that, and I think it's probably the same person, but this was a bunch of questions that came in, and I picked a couple of them out, but one of them, the one that I guess matches the one that we just had discussed, but it's the reverse. How do men apologize to women? And I think a woman probably wrote this because she's saying that most men don't apologize. They don't feel they have to apologize to women, which I think is, once again, crazy, because I think it's the relationship, it's the incident, it's the two people. But I don't get, in general, I would not say that men do not like to apologize to women. We passed 100 years past that type of behavior. What do you think, Ron? How do you feel about men apologizing to women? The way this is written, women feel that men don't know how to or want to apologize for minor things or things that they do to women. I think that's wrong. What do you think?
Well, I think yes, we have come a long ways, but I think there's still a lot of men out there that are sexist and feel superior, and you know, and again, I work with one. hope he's not listening, but if he is, it's okay.
nice knowing you, Ron.
yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's there's men out there that and I've seen it happen many times, that feel that women are still second-class citizens, and they may not admit it in person, but deep down inside, I think they still feel
yes,
that way.
Well, someone tried to say something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I heard that.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Jess, and I'm a friend of Spencer's, so he recommended that I call in. And I am a woman who also works for a man who refuses to apologize, or at least he had in the past. It really was like a really long struggle between me and him to get to a place where he would apologize to me if he made a mistake or if he said some things that may have been a little rough or a little harsh, you know. And I tried to always go into my place of employment with the attitude of, okay, there's no women, no men, we're all just workers. But sometimes he can be quite brash. And it took a lot of, like, intimate conversations to say, hey, you know, there's a better way for you to say that, or even sometimes being a little petty. That's what he gave out for them, for him to then understand that, you know, you can't speak to everyone in this manner. So he, luckily, he has kind of come around to apologize more often, not nearly as often as he should, but it did take a really long time to get to that place and a lot of work on top of what we already knew from work. So.
Jasmine.
Yes.
Can you? I have a question back to you. Why do you think your male boss or the male person you're talking about changed? What do you think happened?
Well, I think in my particular scenario, I ended up actually leaving the company for a little while, and I was, like, only working part-time, kind of like consulting, I guess you can say. And when I decided to come back, before I did come back, I was like, well, when I come back, I expect, you know, this type of behavior and this type of attitude. And I think he maybe had more of an appreciation for me that he didn't have before. So I think that may have been part of it. Now, again, we did still have a lot of communication, a lot of talks, say, hey, you know, you could have said that differently, or I could have said that differently. And it also took me apologizing as well, but I'm kind of an apologetic person. Like, I'd rather just say I'm sorry and move forward. So I think once he started realizing and actually listening to me, that he was able to kind of turn a new leaf. And he is older, so I understand that he's a little more stubborn or set in his ways, I guess you could say. But yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just a change of heart, or like I said, just the appreciation from when I left the company to come back.
I think in general, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is just the way I feel. Men have a harder time saying the words, I'm sorry. Just like I think it has something to do with, you know, men have a harder time admitting that they need to ask for directions. I mean, as silly as that may sound, I think there's an ego thing going on, or I'm not sure quite exactly what it is, but I definitely think men in general find it harder to say to somebody, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that, too. And I think sometimes it could be just like a communication thing, too. I think they feel like they apologize, you know, like, oh, I didn't mean it, or I didn't intend for this, or this wasn't what I was trying to do, rather than just saying the words, I'm sorry, or I apologize, in order to kind of complete the issue and resolve everything. So I think that may be part of the translation issue, too.
Jasmine?
Yes.
I need your point of view. I am one of those older gentlemen. I work part-time in a bank, six other ladies. It's just me and them. I thoroughly enjoy working there, and they help me a lot. But I'm the new kid in the block with no experience. So I felt I've made a number of mistakes. And I personally have no problem looking him right in the eyes and saying, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that, or what can I do to make sure that doesn't happen again? But do you feel that most men, old or young, as a general statement, have much harder time saying I'm sorry than women do?
I can't really say for sure. I think, you can say there's a different level, because there are some women who don't want to apologize either. So I don't want to say it's more so either one. I think it is kind of an individual type of scenario. But I think most importantly, I agree with the gentleman said, if you put out the apology, most people are receptive to that, and then you can also get an apology back, and they'll be more likely to apologize to you. So I don't feel like it's really, like a sex thing per se. I think it's more so just like a person, individual by individual. So I think, with you working with the ladies, I think, as long as you haven't had like an issue and no one said anything crazy, I think you should be fine.
No, they've been very tolerant.
All right. Well, any more questions for Jasmine? Don, do you have any questions?
No, I'm enjoying the conversation, and Jasmine, I think you're right on point.
I want to go back to Ron, because Ron said that he thought that men do have an issue with making apologies. Ron, can you dig down into that and tell me why you said that?
Well, like I said, it's just the feeling that I have. It could very well be that I'm mistaken, but in my experience, I have found men having a more difficult time to admitting to any inadequacies, whether it's, like I said, getting lost and finding directions. I've seen it in my family, with the men in my family. I've seen it with men that I work with. It's like I see women more forthcoming and saying, hey, I need help with this. That's another one. I find men have a much harder time saying, I can't do this, I need some help. I see it all the time. I could be wrong. I don't know the science behind it, the stats behind it, but that's my feeling.
Don't you think that?
I agree with you, Brian.
Go ahead. But Ron,
you agree with me, Don?
I agree with you 100%, bro.
Yeah, men have a hard time saying, I need help. I don't know what it stems from, but, maybe it's the way we're raised, or an eagle. I don't know.
I think when we're trained as young men coming up and we make mistakes, older men will say, don't be apologized and just get fixed. I mean, I hear that a lot. When I was coming up, make apologies was not manly. You don't make apologies. You just go fix it. You broke something that's dead. I don't want to hear the apology. I just want you to go fix it. That is more like most men working on cars and doing those kind of things. That's the kind of rhetoric that they get. So you think that's part of why men are like that? John, what do you think?
I think that is the reason why. I think you're right on time. You're spot on. That's one of the reasons why.
Okay, so that being the case, I think we kind of narrowed out why some men have a hard time apologizing. Because if you are the boss of a company or something, you're kind of taught. You don't, it, just don't be apologizing, because being a man who's very apologetic is considered weak. Being out there and getting fixed is considered strong. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Don, go ahead.
Yeah, David, you used the right word. I was going to say, saying I'm sorry may be a sign of weakness instead of meekness. There's a difference in meekness and weakness. And I think we as men have it twisted.
How so?
We think saying I'm sorry is perceived as a sign of weakness, and really it's a sign of meekness.
All right. Once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice, and we are wanting to have you call in and talk to us. We're at 646-668-8740, but if you're listening to me, I guess you got that number already. Call in and tell us if you want to, you know, join the conversation. I want to change it up a little bit because there are other questions that I had, and this one was, this young man said, I was in love with the sweetest and nicest woman, and as soon as I married her, she became wife from hell. What do I do? What do you get any thoughts on that one, Bruce?
Yeah. As we all say, and we all seem to come to it, the key to relationships is solid communication. And if she's become the wife from hell, she might have a reason to, based on something you did or didn't do or the way you've changed your behavior. She may have absolutely no reason to. And it's up to you to help the couple find out why she's behaving the way she is. She may have a valid reason. She may not. But if you just fight each other versus trying to get to the root of it with some really good communication, you're never going to solve the problem.
Don, what do you think? I know that you've been married for quite a while in a nice relationship, but what would you say to a gentleman that came to you and said, I just married my wife. She was nice and sweet, but as soon as we got married, she became the wife of hell. What would you say to him?
First of all, I'd ask him how long he's been married, number one. And then I'd like to know how long did you know her prior to marrying her? And third, I'd like to know, did you marry her out of lust, or did you marry her out of love? One of the two. I can use mine for an example. We were friends before we got married. And I'm a firm believer that whenever people get married, and I've had the opportunity to marry couples, you must go through counseling. You must talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And in his case, if she just turned in to the person out of hell, he need to run.
And back.
Don't you think this is one of those times you have to just sit down and have a conversation and talk this out, and then if the conversation isn't going anywhere, then you run? But I think you have to try to work your way through it. What do you think there, Ron? What would you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the logical thing would be to sit down and try to talk things through. I mean, if she's acting like a lunatic and like the wife from hell, I'm sure that there's some triggers that are causing that. You know, there's something that's not right in the relationship. And unless you sit down and talk about it openly and frankly, then, you know, you're never going to get to the root of what the real problem is. And, you know, if there is no fixing the problem, then, yeah, I agree with Don. Run as fast as you can. But this brings up another point that, you know, and I know that some people are opposed to, you know, cohabitating, et cetera, before getting married. But I think there's a lot of positive things that come out of, you know, spending time with somebody, maybe even living with them before you get married, and you know, all the things about each other that you like and don't like will come out eventually when you're living together.
Right. I think if you marry that person and it then turned to hell, then you didn't know the person before you got married. There's something wrong with that.
Exactly. So, that's the problem. Bruce, that's the problem right there, David.
Yeah. But you know, it would be 6 months, loving relationship, and is passionate, then you get married. But, you know, she wants you to be dad. She wants you to be like her father, and that's not you. And so that's an issue.
Yeah, but see, David, that it was there all the time. I mean, it was there all the time. It really would have came out in the counseling process.
Don, that's your wife. Yeah. She's looking for you.
Yeah, she wants to know where you are, Don.
Oh, okay, she knows I'm on a man's voice.
let me add something to this. I've often said one of my simple, there are many definitions, but one of my simpler definitions of whether you're with the right person or not, whether you truly love or are starting to love someone and raising your relationship to much higher than a normal friendship, is if you start looking at her and thinking about her as your number one priority, that it's more about what can I do to please her? What can I do to help her? What can I do to do the things for her first? And then you all know the caveat to that, or the other bookend to that, is if you truly feel that way and do that, you'll get back tenfold, because you're doing it for the right reason. So if you men or women that are out there and think you're in a relationship that's starting to feel like that, you're probably with the right person.
Hey, Bruce, and actually, Don, I have a question for both of you. How do you feel about living with somebody and being sexually intimate with somebody before you get married?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. That's one of the questions. That's actually one of the questions. It was, how do men think about our fathers about having at home during holidays and stuff, marriages, opposite sex family members sleeping together?
Bruce?
So, yeah, that's a good question.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Then I can.
Okay.
I used to be very old school about, you don't have sexual intercourse of any way, shape, or form with a woman, or vice versa, until you're married. That's how I felt. That's how I was raised. However, the way I see it now is it shouldn't be a notch on a belt. It shouldn't be a reaction to, oh, you're nice to me, or I like you. It should be, If the two of you feel the way I look at it now, feel that your relationship is progressing or has gotten to a certain level, that this is something that's natural for you to do with each other, I'm not going to condemn someone for doing that. I know in certain scriptures, in certain ways, in certain religions, but that's how I kind of look at it now. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's how I look at it now.
Don, what about you?
Don.
How do you feel about
it? Well, you know, David, I lived with my wife 5 years before we got married. And back in the old days, we used to call it shacking. We were shacking.
Shacking up.
We call it shacking up.
Donald,
you guys
Donald,
don't know
Donald.
You guys don't know anything about that. Called shacking up.
Oh, no. No, we don't.
We lived together for 5 years. It really gave me an opportunity to know her, gave her an opportunity to know me. Now that I'm older, I would say it's kind of hard because that flesh starts rising up, you know, and you want to hit it. And I kind of refrain from it because sometimes when the woman give up the cookies, the man don't want, you know, to bring the milk or the money once they give up the cookies. So the women listening out there, be careful how you give up the cookies.
Don, I understand what you're saying. I just want to make a comment that, and I don't know, again, you know, the statistics, but nowadays I would say that a very, very small percentage of people both men and women, wait until they're married before they're sexually intimate. And I'm sure there's percentages out there. I'm sure I could look it up. But, you know, unless you're, you know, devout, you know, very, very strictly religious. But I just think the majority of people, I would even say more than 90%, are sexually active before they get married.
I agree.
And what's your definition of sexually active?
Having intercourse. Yeah.
Okay. But
I would add one thing to that, and you guys may or may not agree with it. I agree that it's much more active than it used to be. It's a culture. It's all of this, and there's pressure to do this or that. But even with all that pressure, social pressure, I would bet that your 90% is more like 65.
Really?
Yes, sir. I think a lot of people talk a big talk and say, oh, yeah, I do this and I do that. And the guys say, oh, how was she? Or the ladies say to their girlfriend, ooh, what was it all about? And I think that difference of almost 30% is, oh, I can't tell them I didn't do this. I got to tell them I did. And so I really think it's quite a bit less than 90%. That's just me.
Interesting.
All right.
Well, you know, so, hey, Bruce, I grew up in the love and war days, love and hippie days. I mean,
yeah,
Woodstock days.
So did I.
You know, free love, you know. So, I mean, it was common. It was common, man.
It was.
Okay.
But
that's a different question than the question on the table. The question on the table is, okay, let me, I'm going to bring you guys into it, because I do know that Bruce has a son, but his son is already married. But before he was married, Bruce, how did you feel about your son coming from college with his girlfriend and staying with his girlfriend in his home that he grew up in versus Don, who has a daughter? And how would you feel about his daughter coming home from college with her boyfriend and staying in the room she grew up in? So the question on the table is not how you would do it, but how do you feel about your siblings, your offspring doing it right now today?
Well, I'll take that. My daughters, I have two daughters, and they know Dad just don't play that, and. They wouldn't do that. They know Dad just wouldn't play that. Now, they may go to a hotel or go to his place or do something like that. I'm quite sure that they have. But
let me ask you this.
My house?
Do you also feel that most of your friends who are men feel the same way you do?
No, you can't come to my house and do that, bruh.
No, I'm saying all your friends, you men your age who all have daughters and sons, do you think they feel like you feel today?
Oh yeah. You can't come to my house and lay up with my daughter at my house.
What about you, Bruce? Same thing, but you have a son. How do you feel about that?
I have a son and I have a daughter. And,
true.
My approach has always been, and it hasn't changed much over the years. As Don said, you're not going to do that stuff in my house if you're not married. But and they probably wouldn't want to anyway, go someplace else. But what I've always tried to advise them, if they want the advice, or if I think they're going to listen to it just a little, is remember what this act is supposed to be. And when you have so many youth days scratching their heads wondering why, when we us older folks say it's a wonderful, huge, fantastic part of the relationship, and they go, huh, it's not that big a deal. It's because you've made it a recreational sport instead of a intimate communication connection. So what I would always tell my kids is, you have a right to do what you want, you're adults, but if you're asking my opinion, just be careful. Think it through. Is this the time? Is this the place? Is this the reason? If you say yes to all that, by all means. You may not get me to say hooray, hooray, but it's your choice. But if say no to any one of those, you better not be doing it.
Bruce, I couldn't agree more. And while we were talking, I looked it up online because I was curious, and I found a study that says premarital sex is nearly universal among Americans and has been for decades. And it goes on to say, according to the analysis, by age 44, 99% of respondents had had sex and 95% had done so before marriage. Even among those who abstained from sex until age 20 or older, 81% had had premarital sex by age 44. So I guess it is pretty common out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Boy, yeah, Ron, if you keep stretching the age line and so forth, sure. But remember, all statistics are based on you answering honestly.
Of course.
And someone say, oh, yeah, of course I have. How many times? Oh, gee, I can't count. It's been so many. But that doesn't mean it really happened. All I'm saying is, even in what you say there is true, and it may justify 90%, but if I had to, some way I could really tell, I would bet that it's not 90%. It's not.
Well, I also think it could be a social thing, because what I mean by that is, you know, in some communities, for example, in some smaller communities, maybe in the Midwest, where people have stronger morals and values, what you're saying is probably true, but I can guarantee you here in Miami, it's a free-for-all. You know, I remember when my brother was dating, and it was like he was with a different woman having sex, you know, three, four, five nights a week.
Let me ask you this, Ron. How would you answer this? If we were to come down from hibernation up in Michigan to you down there to the free-for-all, and I was to ask you, what do you think most of the people around here think about, you know, they're promiscuous. Would they think sex is a wonderful, fantastic thing to do with another person? Or, it's okay. It's great. Okay. No big deal. How would you just answer that to me?
Well, I think I couldn't agree more with you that, you know, sex should be something special. And you do it when the moment is right, you know, and it, not just because you're hot in the moment, although, you know, some people have a hard time controlling those urges.
Right.
But I think it's better personally, even though I know it's very difficult to wait for that right moment. And the right moment could be when you're married or, you know, perhaps not. But, you know, just to have sex, I've heard people say, after they've cheated, I've heard people say that, why are you so worried about it? It was just sex.
Yeah.
I've heard that so many times. Just sex. There's no feelings. There's no emotions. It was just sex. I can't believe it when I hear that. And it infuriates me.
That's what you've hit on, Ron. They're losing the one of the best components of that kind of intimacy. It's just mechanical thing to them.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the emotion attached to it, and that's why they don't think it's a big deal.
So why get married if you're going to need sex with another person?
Right. And it's so much more than that. And for all you youngsters listening out there, it is so much more than that.
I think there's Spencer's on the line. Spencer, do you have any comments you want to make to this subject?
Well, I grew up in a different generation, as you know, and I do know that as far as going to a significant other's house, if you're not married, you're not even allowed to sleep in the same bed or in the same room together. They will separate you. And I've been to plenty of my significant other's houses or parents' houses and wasn't allowed to sleep together. So I respect the tradition. Now, when it comes to, you know, premarital sex, I'm kind of biased on it because I feel like it is a big part of the relationship. As far as you should see what you're getting into at least before you get married. Because I'm saying that because that could be a problem, because whether it's men or women, the reason why, or a lot of the reason why people cheat is because of the sex of their partner. Maybe they got old, or they never liked it in the first place, so they go outside, they marriage looking for something else. So if you haven't tried it and then you try it and it's like, ah, it's not, you know, it causes reasons to cheat or to commit adultery, if you will, if you're married. So I think as far as my generation, they want to know. They want to know. They want to see what they're getting into and how it is. And I also agree that I think my generation sees it as a sport or something just to do.
That's right.
Other than something that should be intimate, you know, that should be intimate and something that should be wanted, like wanted on a different level, on a higher level, spiritual level, instead
and
of just
Spencer,
on a.
Spencer, do you want it to be?
You
want it to
Spencer,
be a
how
sport?
Do you how do you feel about a young lady reframing to give up the cookies? How do you feel about that?
Oh, I mean, I like that. It shows virtue. It shows you got morals. It shows that you want something more. You want a real relationship. Also, you're looking for something more than just a fling thing, you know.
Okay, my next question: How long can you hang with her with that mindset prior to marriage?
Well, I have never been in that position to, as far as, that's a tough one
tough,
to answer.
Tough question, eh, bro? Tough question.
It is, you know. I would say this: if it's the right girl, meaning, without sex involved, if you know, the personality's there and the mental's there and everything that I want, if she's worth it. If she's worth it, then, yeah, I'll stick around. You know what I'm saying? I'll stick around and not just to get the sex, but I'll stick around because I want her. But that would make it so much better.
Can you define if she's worth it? What is worth it?
Well, worth it is to each his own as far as what they want in a woman. But I would say what a man really want in a woman, and I mean by that is this woman, when I say worth it, I guess I mean this woman could be your wife. You can see this woman as being your wife. So it's worth it to stick around for, because it's so much. She's offering so much more than sex. She's offering so much more than that. So that's why I say she would be worth it. If you can see this woman as potentially being your wife.
All right. You're listening to The Man's Voice here, and those of you that would like to join the conversation, please do. But, gentlemen, I am listening to them. I've come up with something that just dawned on me, that the gentlemen who are older, the relationship before marriage was to date there was even times when your significant other was chosen for you, and both of you should have been virgins. But the times have come to where now the whole scenario is to judge whether it is going to be a successful relationship includes intimate sex prior to the marriage. So at the point where that was after the marriage, and now we're at the point where it's before the marriage. Do you understand that, Doc?
No. Can you make that simpler for me?
I thought I made it. I was about as simple as I did. Because I think there was a time when virginity was considered the way of the world, but I think that time has passed. What do you think?
I would say that might be based on religious values or cores, because I feel like that was a very religious thing as far as being a virgin, being virtuous and all that. And I think we have moved, as a society, we have moved away from that, because I think that was kind of hand-in-hand with religion as far as, you know, in the scriptures and everything. And I think as a society, we have moved away from that being a core, from that being more about religion than just more about something different.
So
Okay, gentlemen. I got to break it down. I can't refrain anymore. Now that I know what I know, and now that I'm mature, and now that I have more sense than I had when I was younger, I know that there are three components to go into what we're talking about. And that is, when I say we are spirits, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So if I connect with the spirit man, that part of that person, and then connect with the soul, that is the mind, the emotion, and the intellect, then the flesh, the body, is going to come naturally. It comes with it. That's the third component. First, I got to connect spiritually. I didn't say religiously. I said spiritually. And then soul, mind, emotion, intellect, will. And then the body, it just comes natural. It just comes natural. That's what I got to say.
All right. But what I got from Spencer is that religion, although religion has basically stayed the same, our interpretation of the religion text has changed. And so we are not, because, you know, I think there was a time when if you did that, you were going to go to hell. We don't play that no more. I mean, that is not the way it is anymore.
David, there was also an aspect back in my youth, and as Don said, the Flower Children and Haight-Ashbury and the Beatles and Woodstock and all of that. There were a lot of promiscuous people, but our age group didn't do anything. They fooled around. There was heavy petting. There was this. There was that. But it seems like nowadays, we're gonna skip all that prelude stuff and go right to the main act. And I agree. I listened very carefully to what Don said. He's right in the fact that if the connection is right and complete, everything comes along with it. But we want everything right away now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to learn to know you. I want to do it right now. And it's just a physical act, not a mental and a religious or a spiritual connection. And that's where they're missing it.
Hey, David, you know that person that you spoke on before that hooked up with the woman and she turned into the woman from hell? Well, what happened was he went straight to the flesh. He went straight to the body. He didn't check out the spirit and the soul. That's what happened.
Okay. I think there was a caller on the line who wanted to say something. I'm not sure anymore. I thought I heard her voice. Because I left.
Oh, there she is.
Okay, there you are.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's Jasmine again.
Yes.
So I think another big part of why I think, because I'm a millennial too, so I think another big reason why I think there's so much sex before marriage, because I'm not a feminist, but I think the feminist movement was for women to be more independent and discover their sexuality, because for so long, we were just supposed to wait for this one guy to come and the whole world and everything was going to be great. But unfortunately, guys, that doesn't always happen. And I think a lot of women decided, though, just like how guys kind of get a pass to, you know, go out and have sex, they're expected, you know, 15, 16, that their mom and dad are getting condoms. And I think a lot of women just decided that, hey, well, why can't I figure out what else is out here in the world, what's good to me and what's not good to me? So I think it's more of a curiosity rather than it being so much as it involving, at least for me and for my generation, from what I know from my friends, that it wasn't necessarily like a church thing or a religious act for us, which I think is a downfall. However, it did liberate a lot of people to discover what they do like, what they don't like, because it could have been, much like you said, he fell for the flesh, the guy we were talking about before that said his life is now crazy. If they fall for flesh and they're just doing it to get married, then, you know, she may not be satisfied, he may not be satisfied, and now you're like, who technically may not be physically right for you.
Right.
How do you all feel about, and I think this just happened more in the past than now, but
Ron, we can hardly hear you.
What about now? Is this better?
There you go. Yeah, please.
Yeah. I was asking, how do you all feel about getting married because you got the lady pregnant and you know, you're going to have a baby?
Okay, who do you want to take that?
I can take it.
All right.
I'm going to reiterate again, a lot of times we as men, and also as the young lady just said, we want to experiment and we go straight to the physical, the flesh part. And that happens, and if you do it, there are consequences that come with that, and that's childbirth. And we didn't get a chance to know you. I didn't get a chance to know you, and you didn't get a chance to know me. The soul part, the mind, the emotion, the intellect, the will, and less known, the spiritual part. And we're all spirits. We're just having a human experience. We're all having a human experience.
But if it does happen, Don, do you think they should get married or not?
In the old days, Ron, that's what they said. Boy, you got that girl pregnant. You better marry her. Well, you know, you fell for the flesh, and you had a sexual experience, and the consequences was a child. Now what you got to do is you got to repair the soul and the spirit. Okay, we went to the flesh, and we did it. It's done. Now we got to get to know each other. I got to get to know you, and then you got to get to know me.
Yeah, but what if I
don't like each other?
Once I know you, I don't.
Don't get married.
Bruce, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that if you've done the act and you've created a child, and she's pregnant, or you now have a baby, you've elevated it to another level of commitment, because now there's a third person involved. So it's your responsibility. It may not sound romantic, but it's a responsibility of those two parents now to try to work it out and see if they can actually love each other eventually, get to know each other, as Don said, and love each other, or whether they stay together. They have to at least try for that third person, that baby's best possibility, because otherwise, if you turn around and say, well, no, I don't really want to marry you, I'm walking, and oh yeah, I'll give you child support, but I'm out of here, you're obligated now to at least try. You might have hit it lucky, and you two might end up married for 30, 40 years, but you've got to at least try, because there's another human being involved now.
Yep.
You say you have to try, but what does that mean? Because aren't... So that means that you need to get married? Are you saying
No. If they decide we don't believe in or we don't want to have the piece of paper, I don't know their reasons. I know what I would do. But if their reasons are we're not going to get married, but we're going to stay together and see where this goes, and they were looking at me and say, what do you think, Bruce? I'd say, you damn well better try. You owe it to this third person you've just created between the two of you. It may or may not work out, but the solution isn't just to say neither one of us want it right now, so we're gonna split up and walk away. No, you don't get to do that now.
Yeah, but see, even though we split up, I think you still have financial responsibilities.
Well, yes,
They call it child support.
Yes,
Finance
has nothing to do with emotions, and we're talking about a marriage piece. Yeah, you both have finance. If the father has the child, then the mother should be equal somehow. It shouldn't be all on one side. I think it should be 50-50. They both should be supporting the child. There should be a fund set up where they both put money into it equally for the child. But we're talking about a relationship prior to, you know, and with the child also. It might be confusing, but
David, why would, if I'm hearing you right, why would you automatically assume, or should anyone automatically assume, we two of us, man and a woman or whatever the partnership is, have a great relationship going. Now all of a sudden she gets pregnant, they have a child. The immediate decision shouldn't be, we didn't want children, so we're out of here. We're going to split. You can't make that the immediate fallback decision. You have to at least try to make this work. And try doesn't mean that you're not going to love each other. You might. You just haven't been around to know yet.
What I was talking about was the outcome. If you got two people that are working together and they have a relationship and it's going well, that's a good thing. I'm talking about a relationship where you both decide we don't like each other. What happens? And now there's a child. So you're saying, well, you have to try to make it work. But we know that we're not going to make it happen work because we don't like each other already.
That's an easy cop out answer. If you say that and never try, you don't know. You might surprise yourself. You two might actually enjoy being together, being married, whatever the terms end up being. So just to say, oh, no, we don't like each other, so we're not even going to try, that's a cop-out.
No, not try. You should try. But after the try doesn't work, then there still has a child in there. There should be a friendly relationship enough so that you're both taking care of the child.
I agree with that. If you can do that, yep, I agree. That's the ideal, you bet.
Okay. We only got 90 seconds left, and there was another caller on the line who wanted to talk about something that we talked about at the beginning, but I think we'll just push that back till next week because I'm sure it would take us more than a minute. But, you know, we have something that I talk about that's strange going on, and I can't believe that recently a mom in a car, the little child, had to use the restroom. I'll try and get this out in 60 seconds. A little boy was sitting in the back seat of his car seat, had to pee. And he kept telling his mom, I have to pee, I have to pee. The mom said, there's nothing, there's no service station. So finally, she found the service station, and the little boy is saying, I'm about to pee in my pants. So she took the little boy out, headed toward the restroom, and he said, no, it's coming now. She set him down in the service station and let him pee on the cement. But the police officer was watching this and gave her a ticket, and now they're thinking about putting her in jail for indecent exposure of the child. That's crazy. Once again, where are we going in this world? I mean, she couldn't make it to the toilet with the boy, and he ended up peeing and, you know, doing what she could do.
Crazy.
Anyway, yes, we keep saying, where are we going with this? We need to take charge of who our elected officials are. Anyway, I want to thank who listened. I want to thank everyone for the show. We'll be here again next week. I want to thank all of our callers who called in and joined in the conversation this week. So, guys, have a great week.
Have a good week, everyone.
Everybody have a great week, guys.
Go Kings.
And if you're still listening, if you're still listening, Jasmine, thanks for calling in.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Bring some more friends.
Okay, we'll do.
All right.
Thank you.